the show that helps you find ways to take back control in issues regarding your mental and physical health. I'm Roberta Fernandez, a board-certified hypnotist, an NLP master practitioner, and a certified hypnosis instructor at the Fair Hypnosis Center in Eden Prairie. I'm glad to be with you every Saturday morning at 10 here on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Later in the show, we're going to be taking calls today. That number is 952-946-6205, and we'd love to hear from you. The new year's here, and January 4th was National Hypnotism Day. People say, why January 4th? And I say, well, it takes about 4 days for most people to break their resolutions. So today, we're continuing part three of our three-part series on weight loss, because that tends to be the number one resolution on people's list. So you can find other segments, the ones that we've already done here at am950radio.com. And you can also go to my online store and download them for free at fairehypnosis.com. I've got a special guest this morning in the studio. I'd like to welcome Dr. Rob Lindsay from Vallejo Health and Wellness Center in Eden Prairie. Dr. Lindsay received his Doctor of Chiropractic from Northwestern Health Sciences University. He holds a master's degree in sports medicine. He has extensive training in functional blood chemistry analysis, endocrinology, immunology, and neurology. And Dr. Lindsay specializes in chronic neurological and metabolic conditions. Welcome, Dr. Lindsay.
Thanks, Roberta.
Yeah, it's great to have you here.
It's great to be here.
Yeah. So, Dr. Lindsay, I've been telling my story. We started this segment with the story of my emotional journey with Graves' disease and my weight gain, putting on 70 pounds in just 5 months in the first part of the series. And I, of course, have used hypnosis, which helped me easily lose the first 22 pounds. And I was no longer eating large amounts of food or using food as a distractor. I'd logged 1,100 miles, either on my bike or walking or on my elliptical since July. So I was exercising every day. And then I hit a plateau. And I was also still experiencing physical symptoms, IBS, occasional severe acne breakouts, arthritis in my hands and my feet. And I really didn't have the energy that I thought I should. And then I met you.
Yeah.
So I want to tell the audience the end of my story, and then you and I are going to fill in the gaps as we go.
Okay.
So since I've met you, I've lost another 23 pounds. So I'm down a total of 45 pounds in 6 months. Most of all, I feel amazing. I really feel incredible. So let's take it from the beginning. I'll remind my audience that I'd been dealing with weight issues for 15 years. I had tried everything, like most of my clients that come to me.
Right.
And I was really skeptical about most everything because nothing had worked, and everybody assured me it would. But my frustration was stronger than my skepticism, so
right.
I ended up in your office. So, you know, here I was exercising regularly, eating a low-calorie diet, and I asked you, why can't I lose weight? And what did you tell me?
And I said it's because you don't have just a weight problem. You have a health problem. And so when we did an exam in the office. We looked at your brain.
Mm-hmm.
We looked at organ function. We had some blood work. And when we put it all together, we could see that there were different systems in your body that were not working in a way that would allow you to lose weight.
So tell me more about that. Why is that so important? I mean, I know when I've gone to the doctor, usually they send you, if there's something wrong, to a specialist. Like, for example, I had gallstones.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to see the gallstone doctor,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
And, of course, his solution was take out the gallbladder.
Right.
Why is that such a negative? Why is that an issue?
Well, the reason is because you and I are not just a bunch of parts. We are a whole person that has all kinds of different body parts, but they all work in concert. They work together. One thing affects everything else. Just like you said, gallbladder looks unhealthy. Let's remove it. But let's think about looking at a cause. Why did the gallbladder become unhealthy in the first place?
Right.
And if you only focus on downstream problems and you don't go back to the original upstream issue, it's going to be very, very difficult to regain your health. And byproducts of good health are weight loss, mm-hmm. energy production, good sleep, all of those things.
Right. And I know that's what I do with my clients. For example, when they come in for weight loss, I'll look at what they've done, what they've been successful at, what hasn't worked for them. I'll be listening for cues. And a lot of times, as we talked about in the first segment about the emotional component of weight, it's a huge factor. And so I was one of these people. I went on diet after diet after diet, you know, Nutrisystem, Jenny Craig, you know, whatever they were. I tried them all. And I would lose weight. Mm-hmm. I would lose a certain amount of weight, and then I would gain it all back and then some. And because I was never really addressing the underlying component, you know, why am I eating too much to begin with? Why do I use food as a distractor? And getting to that root cause is really important from my perspective as well. So I can totally appreciate that. So I had this exam with you.
Yep.
And we found a lot of things.
Yeah.
I had thyroid dysfunction. I actually don't have a thyroid anymore. Mm-hmm. So how is that playing into my weight issue?
So the thyroid is really an important organ, because when you release thyroid hormone, it is the hormone that, let me put it this way, every cell in your body, whether it's in the liver, the brain, or the gut, every cell has receptors for thyroid hormone. So thyroid hormone is one of the main hormones that drives metabolic activity. And you can think about metabolism as your ability to make energy. And so if you can't get the right amounts of thyroid hormone, the right amounts and the right timing into the cells, metabolism is going to slow down. And other things that people will say is that when their metabolism is slowed down is, well, they, even though they're exercising and in eating a low-calorie diet, they're going to gain weight, mm-hmm, oftentimes. They'll also say that they're losing their hair. They'll say that they've got depression and lack of motivation. They'll say things like, I'm losing the outer third of my eyebrows, and their bowels will slow way down, because all of these things I just described to you need a certain amount of energy to make them work correctly. And so if everything slows down, bowels are going to slow down, hair becomes non-essential.
Right.
And so you're going to start to lose it. So these are the byproducts of that.
Exactly. And a lot of those are symptoms that I was having when I, mm-hmm, came to see you. I know when obviously I don't have a thyroid, so I have to regulate my metabolic function. And I would like to point out to the audience that your thyroid isn't just about metabolic function. It controls the pace of everything in your body, how fast you heal, how fast your hair grows,
yes,
your nails grow, how fast your heart beats.
Yes.
It's a really, really important organ in our body. And, you know, hair loss is one of the first ways I know if I am not regulated properly, because I,
yeah,
start seeing it a lot more in the bottom of the bathtub when I shower.
That's absolutely right.
So that's just one signal. One of the things I want to ask you about that is that I have to go every 6 months to have my blood work done. Mm-hmm. But the doctor usually recommends I get my TSH tested. Mm-hmm. It's one test. But there's a lot more to, yeah, just one test of TSH, right?
Correct. With a full thyroid panel, we actually run 9 or 10 different markers, because we know now through research that there are 22 potential thyroid patterns that a person could have. And only one of 22 actually responds well to the thyroid replacement hormone that the doctors give you. And so what they'll do is they'll run the TSH alone, and if the TSH is high, they go, aha, you are hypothyroid, therefore you need to take this thyroid replacement hormone.
Right.
But what if underlying everything, you have an autoimmune disorder called Hashimoto's disease? But if you don't run the test to find out if you have elevated antibodies, you're not going to know. And you can't treat an autoimmune issue, which is an immune problem, with thyroid replacement hormone.
Right.
You need to work on the immune challenge. That's, I think, what we really do differently is we dig and look at all of the different thyroid markers and then come back and say, hey, this is your issue. It's not just hypothyroidism. You may have autoimmunity. You may have a problem converting T4 into T3.
Right. And I know a lot of times when I've had them do a full panel, there's been one or two of those tests that have never been in sync with where they were supposed to be in the normal standards.
Yes.
And I also found that I know my body. I mean, I've been dealing with this long enough to know when I'm losing the hair, when I don't quite have the energy I have, you know, but I may not be in the range that they consider normal, because that's just a standard, right?
Yeah.
And some of us may fall in and out of it. But I also do appreciate a doctor's concern with taking too much medication, because too much of that hormone is really bad for you. It's bad for your bones. It elevates your heart rate, and that too can cause other issues. So,
absolutely.
I guess the lesson here is that our body really does need to find that balance within itself to work optimally.
Yeah. And remembering that, as we said before, there's going to be a relationship between the thyroid and every other, we call it crosstalk. So thyroid and adrenals.
Mm-hmm.
If adrenals don't work good, thyroid can't work as well. Thyroid and gut, thyroid and brain. So we have to look at you as that whole person and look at all the different organs before we come up with a game plan.
Excellent, excellent. So really quick before we go to break here, one of the other things that I've been constantly told by my doctor and is that you can lose weight is just based on calories. Calories in, calories out. What do you have to say about that?
Yeah, I think that that is a little bit older way of thinking. Mm-hmm. And I think that what happens is that like if you have 200 calories of let's say a candy bar versus 200 calories of a piece of chicken, it's not going to be handled the same way in the body. You can't just let calories in, calories out be your guide.
Great. So we're going to pick up with that when we come back. I'm Roberta Fernandez, and we're here today talking about empowering you with your weight loss goals. When we come back, we're going to be talking more with Dr. Rob Lindsay from Vallejo Health and Wellness. Welcome back. I'm Roberta Fernandez, and this is Minding Your Health here on AM 950. Today, we're helping you take back control by empowering you through education on how to lose those unwanted pounds. This is part three of our series focusing on the physical aspect of getting rid of that excess weight. And we're talking with Dr. Rob Lindsay. He's with Vallejo Health and Wellness Center in Eden Prairie. We're also taking your calls at 952-946-6205. So if you have something you want to share or a question you'd like to ask Dr. Lindsay, feel free to give us a call. When we left Dr. Lindsay, we were talking about calories in, calories out, and the difference in food.
Yeah.
Obviously, that piece of chicken and the candy bar may have the same amount of calories, but not the same effect in your body.
Absolutely. Your body, the way we really need to be eating in a nutshell is we eat for fuel. But unfortunately, in our country, we eat for pleasure for the most part. And we get caught up in the calories in many cases. There's a lot of weight loss programs that teach you have to count how many calories you eat. And if you eat a lower amount, you're going to lose weight. And that will go so far until you do truly have an underlying health problem. And then that isn't going to matter so much. And as a matter of fact, and you know this now too, that when we get a person eating foods that are healthful and are not causing inflammation, we don't count calories at all. We don't tell people how much to eat or not to eat. We say eat enough of what's allowed to feel full, because we have found that you can still lose weight because you're giving your body fuel for healing.
Right. And I can attest to that personally. I didn't count calories. I didn't measure portions. I really didn't even take that into consideration. The other thing that the way I'm eating now allows me to eat is I can eat fats.
Yeah.
And that's what keeps me full. And I noticed before, you know, I ate a lot of carbs. A lot of them were good carbs.
Sure.
But even good carbs don't necessarily leave you feeling full. And so it's just been fascinating for me for the first time in my life to not even be thinking about calories.
Right.
And it's a wonderful freedom, I have to tell you.
Absolutely.
And you're right. I don't snack as much in between because I'm eating enough food to keep me full.
Exactly.
And, you know, so in 2 hours, I'm not hungry anymore. So one of the first things that we talked about when I came to your office that you suspected was a problem of mine, which turns out to be true, is something called leaky gut. Now, yeah. I had heard that term before, and it sounds kind of cutesy yeah. and fashionable. But just tell me, what is it and how does it affect someone's weight?
Yeah. So the real term is called intestinal permeability.
Okay.
And we've all call it leaky gut. But how does it affect a person? It's inseparable. And what we find – matter of fact, you go back to Hippocrates way back in how many hundreds of years ago, the father of medicine, he said that the disease begins in the gut. Mm-hmm. So it turns out that 70 to 80% of our immune system is located within our gut, specifically within the small intestine.
Interesting.
And within the small intestine, that's the place where food is going to be absorbed. 90% of our food gets assimilated, absorbed into the bloodstream through the small intestine. 90% of our serotonin, which is a neurotransmitter mm-hmm. that helps us to feel good about ourselves,
yep.
is made in our small intestine. So what we want to get into our bloodstream are nutrients that are going to fuel us, right? The smallest broken down pieces of proteins, fats, carbohydrates, vitamins, and minerals.
Okay.
But here's what happens. When we are exposed to things that cause inflammation, it's a little bit of a battle goes on in our gut, within our small intestine. The immune system cells that line that gut are going to target those things, including foods. They're going to look at those things and decide, is this a good thing or a bad thing? So let's say that you eat some wheat. Okay, this is very common for people to develop a sensitivity to wheat. The immune system looks at that and says, has to decide, is this a good guy or a bad guy? And if it looks like a bad guy, it's going to mount an immune response against it. It's going to try to kill it.
Okay.
Now, other things come in on our food like heavy metals, pesticide residues that are on our food that they were sprayed. Maybe you had a silver filling in your mouth and you've been leaching mercury into your gut. Maybe you have a parasite that got in there. So we have this constant battle going on, and it's kind of amazing to me that we're able to live as long as we can with all of the insults there. So here's what happens. Just like in war, if we may have the best intentions to bomb a building just to kill whoever's in that building,
right.
Sometimes there's collateral damage.
Right.
And so the gut wall begins to break down and become – you get these holes basically. Now, large undigested food proteins, your heavy metals, a parasite can leak through that gut wall into the bloodstream. Now the bloodstream is going to carry that around the body. And now you have your immune system activated, not just in your gut, but in other tissues. This is what sets up autoimmune diseases. So if the immune system is now attacking that substance within around your thyroid, it's called Hashimoto's.
Right.
If it's on the covering of your nerves, it's called MS. If it's the end of the bones, it's called rheumatoid arthritis. So that's, in a nutshell, that's leaky gut.
That's really interesting because I'll just share with the audience, I've been on this program now for a little over 3 months, and I'm starting to introduce foods back into my diet.
Yeah.
Because this is what we did. We eliminated all of the foods that would normally cause sensitivities, right?
Yeah, inflammation.
Inflammation. Yep. So those were things like wheat, grains, help me with this. What else do we
legumes.
Remember? Legumes, yeah.
Nightshade plants.
Yeah, that's tomatoes and peppers,
and potatoes.
Dairy, potatoes, right? Mm-hmm. But I could have sweet potatoes,
yep.
which is awesome.
Yep.
I've learned to love them.
Yep.
And starches, any of those kinds of things.
Yeah.
And so it was very, very restrictive. I was very happy to have hypnosis to help me
yeah.
for the first couple weeks because it was really, really challenging for me to do that. But the amazing thing that I would have said was food didn't bother me, because I had gotten into this pattern where I think my system was so overwhelmed, it didn't really matter anymore what was putting in. I couldn't tell the difference.
Yes.
And I would have bet my whole life savings that food was not my issue.
Right.
Because I ate a healthy diet. And I wasn't one to eat crazy amounts of sugar or any of that. But once I started eliminating those things from my body, oh my gosh, my body rebelled. Mm-hmm. I was very tired for the first couple of weeks.
Yep.
I mean, to the point where I might fall asleep at my desk if I wasn't really active. Mm-hmm. I was a little cranky for a few days, so I really had to monitor that with my clients, right, and my work. And I was really, really exhausted.
Yeah.
And my body went through some kind of a detox, I guess.
Yep, exactly.
I would describe that. And it was a very interesting experience to me. I didn't have a lot of energy. And then all of a sudden, it really seemed to happen like that, I felt amazing.
Yeah. And I think we need to I think it's important to tell the listeners that it wasn't the only thing we did. We didn't just say, here, let's not eat these foods.
Right.
And let's just focus on these others. But we also started to add in some very important nutritional supplements that were going to start to give you fuel for healing. And we were doing some neurologic things as well. And so while you were feeling horrible, which often happens for the first little bit of time, as you begin to fuel, you started to get better.
Right. And so when we come back from break, I want to talk about that because it really did make a huge difference for me. We're here talking today with Dr. Rob Lindsay with Vallejo Health and Wellness about the physical components of weight loss. And when we come back, we'll be continuing this discussion. Welcome back, everybody. This is Minding Your Health, and I'm Roberta Fernandez, a board-certified hypnotist. And we do this talk every Saturday here at 10 o'clock on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Today, we're talking with Dr. Rob Lindsay at Vallejo Health and Wellness. And there's still time to give us a call in here at 952-946-6205. When we left you, we were talking about leaky gut. And I was sharing how I had eliminated lots of food from my diet. And for the first couple of weeks, it was really challenging for me. It was a new way of eating. My body had to adapt to that. And then over the holidays, I started to slowly, one at a time, introduce some of those foods back into my diet. And wow, did I have a wake-up call.
Yeah.
A couple of really big sensitivities for me were corn. I went to the movies and had a bag of popcorn. And interestingly enough, one of my weaknesses before meeting you was at least probably four nights a week, I would have a bowl of popcorn at night. And it was almost instantaneous. Mm-hmm. Before the movie was over, I could hardly wait to get to the bathroom.
Yeah.
The other thing was sugar. That was the other trigger food for me. My arthritis came back, and I had totally not felt it for months in my hands and my feet. Acne broke out within a couple of days. My stomach, the IBS was back full, you know, not as bad as it was.
Yep.
But it was really interesting to me how easy it was to recognize that those were foods that my body didn't like. And so we were talking before about also the importance of supplements and understanding, just basically understanding your body. And I feel like that's what is happening for me.
Yeah.
I know that, you know what, I'm probably going to have popcorn again. Because although I have to say I didn't enjoy it nearly as much as I used to, and the sugar really didn't do anything for me, I have to say.
Yeah.
It didn't even taste good anymore. But, you know, I'm sure I'll have a piece of birthday cake, you know, at one time. But now I know the consequences.
That's right.
Now I know how my body's going to react, and I understand it. It just took me going back onto my new meal plan again, and within a few days, the arthritis symptoms were gone. I could tell the inflammation was out of my body.
Yeah, and this is really common, and usually when this happens, and I think I may have even said this to you, you know what? I'm glad that happened.
Yes, you did.
Because it's not always the same thing. It can be a lot of different things. And so what I always tell people, the three most that I find most inflammatory, most commonly inflammatory foods are gluten, which is in wheat, rye, and barley, dairy, and soy. But also very common are things like you mentioned, sugar, corn. So almost invariably this happens. A person goes on the anti-inflammatory diet recommendations. They feel better. At some point, they think, I'm going to start adding some foods in. Usually, we're helping to guide them.
Yep.
Sometimes on their own, they just choose to do something. And they're going to know really fast. They're going to know within a day or two, I've eaten that food. guess what? I don't feel good anymore. And things like you described will happen. They'll say, and it may not be things you think. Like they'll say, I don't feel it in my gut, but my right knee ballooned up like nobody's business. My brain fog returned. Of acne, like you mentioned, skin disorders.
Mm-hmm.
So that just helps us to see that, guess what? You probably shouldn't be eating that food
right.
ever. And if you do, just understand that you're going to have some consequences. It's going to take you back a couple notches, and then you just, you know, get back on your horse and continue to eat well.
Yeah, and I really was surprised at how quickly my body responded when I stopped taking those things
yeah.
in. And I think the biggest shock for me was the arthritis.
Yeah.
Because I had been having some pretty bad problems with that in my hand.
Yeah.
And we have family history of severe rheumatoid arthritis.
Yeah.
And so I was really getting nervous about that. And I guess part of me didn't realize how much it had cleared up. But when it came back, it came back with a vengeance.
Yeah. And just to speak to that really quick, from a physiologic standpoint, we had mentioned inflammation.
Mm-hmm.
So when you eat that food that is inflammatory, your body releases something called cytokines. They're inflammatory proteins.
Okay.
These things start to circulate through the bloodstream, and areas of the body that maybe have had a weakness mm-hmm. beforehand, that inflammatory reaction will occur there to a higher degree. And that's why you started to feel arthritic changes so fast, because of that gut is not really ready yet
for that food.
It's healing.
Yep.
It's on the way. Will you ever be able to add that food back permanently? I don't know. But in some cases, you can. But the gut has to heal before you can really get your life back.
Yeah, I can totally see that. One of the other things that we did was supplementation.
Yeah.
So let's talk about supplements, because there's a lot of mixed press out there,
yeah.
just like we talked last week about nutrition and exercise. Everybody has an opinion about what you should and shouldn't do. Let's talk about supplements.
Yeah. So one thing that I like to share with people, and frankly, the people that come in to see us, typically they've been everywhere. I mean, they've been to Mayo. They've mm-hmm. been to University of Minnesota. They come in with grocery bag fulls of supplements that they purchased on their own, and they're not really helping. And it's not that necessarily that the supplement was bad, but it maybe wasn't what they really needed. They didn't know how to dose it. They didn't really know that they needed to be pinpoint accurate. So one of the beautiful things, I think, about what the tools we have is called applied kinesiology.
Mm-hmm.
Some people call it muscle testing, but it's a tool that we can use to find out exactly what your body needs to support, let's say, liver. And so we had to find some very specific liver support for you.
Mm-hmm.
We had to give you some hydrochloric acid, if I remember correctly,
yes.
to help you with your stomach to break down proteins. And there were a few other things that were very targeted. Now, we didn't want to overwhelm you. I don't think we gave you more than...
No, just a couple things.
A few things.
Mm-hmm.
But they were so pinpoint accurate that they were able to help multiple systems. So you don't have to overwhelm. You just have to have the right things in the right timing.
Right. And a lot of people think more is better, which
right.
is definitely not true.
No.
The other thing that we did that I had never had done before was we talked about brain dysfunction.
Yeah.
And now the word dysfunction scares people.
Yeah.
So let's clarify what
yeah.
we mean by that.
Okay.
Because I know with me, we found there was a certain part of my brain that wasn't firing exactly like it should.
Yep.
Didn't mean I had a tumor or cancer or anything
right.
like that. But let's just talk about what you mean by brain dysfunction.
Yeah. So functional neurology is the study of really how the brain, all the different lobes of the brain communicate with each other, and then how the lobes of the brain communicate with the body. So remember that the brain is your master control center through your nervous system. It is what is signaling your stomach to release acid to break down your protein. So it's involved with what's called gut motility. So people that are constipated, part of it could be that the brain is not sending a message through the gut or through the vagus nerve to the gut mm-hmm. to cause those muscles to contract so that you can have a bowel movement. So what we did was we did some testing. They're not invasive. It wasn't doing images like x-rays or MRIs. It was doing some simple testing using eye movements,
mm-hmm.
using body movements, and it helped us to pinpoint that there was an imbalance in the two sides of the brain. Now, again, like you said, it doesn't mean that you have what's called a hard lesion.
Right.
It's not a tumor or an aneurysm. We call it a soft lesion, and what that means is that the neurons just aren't firing as crisply or maybe as strongly as the other side. And when you do that, you get an imbalance in the two sides. And now the brain can't control as well different organs. Also remember that within the brain is you have the hypothalamus and the pituitary. So when we start talking about weight loss, those are your master hormone controllers.
Right.
They actually control the thyroid. They control the adrenals. So if the brain doesn't work as well, it's not balanced, I should say, it can hinder the way the body functions. So we have found that not only do we have to work on the organs, but if we start to stimulate the pathways in the brain that need a little extra help,
right,
then they're going to heal. We actually create new neural pathways that will communicate with other parts of the body. And I think you talk about this stuff even with emotions, how you
I do,
create
yes.
new neural pathways around old beliefs.
Exactly. Because the brain is plastic. We call it plasticity. And
right.
so we can make these changes on a regular basis. And this was one of the things, quite honestly, that I was most amazed about was I didn't realize how foggy my brain was.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was aging, which obviously is a natural process too. You know, we all walk into a room and we forget why we're there. But I was finding that there were times when, gosh, I couldn't find the word, and it just would escape me. And I'm thinking, am I developing Alzheimer's? I'm not that old yet.
Right.
And doing simple exercises that you had me do on a regular basis to stimulate the vagus nerve. And let me tell you, the vagus nerve, I talk mm-hmm. about it all the time with my clients and how impactful it is. But doing these simple things like, you know, touching my nose, you know, with the end of my finger and going in certain patterns and the eye movements and singing, that was another thing. Mm-hmm. Suggested to me.
Yeah.
Singing out loud stimulates that vagus nerve. I was amazed at how quickly my body readjusted.
Yeah.
It only took really, I felt like a month, and I saw a huge difference of doing some of these easy exercises.
Yeah.
And, you know, the brain fog is really lifted. I mean, occasionally it comes back, but that probably is old age. But I saw a huge difference.
Yeah. Yeah. And so we knew which lobes of the brain from our testing
mm-hmm.
were deficient. And just in a nutshell, if a person will say things like, man, my executive function isn't as good as it used to be. My judgment, my planning, my organization, my personality, those kinds of things, that's frontal lobe.
Right.
They'll say things like, I can't remember where I parked my car when I walk out of Walmart.
Right.
Okay, that could be temporal lobe. So we take what they tell us, we do some simple tests, and it's pretty – you test it. If it's not balanced, not firing equally as the other side,
mm-hmm.
we perform a treatment, and then we retest it. And we'll know right away if it was helpful or not. And then that helps to gauge – okay, what's our treatment plan going to look like going forward? These aren't hard. It's just like if you damaged your bicep, you'd have to go do bicep curls eventually.
Right.
In this case, we're doing brain curls to try
That's
to stimulate
right.
the different parts of the brain.
That's right. And mm-hmm. it is all connected. And as I'm listening to you talk, I'm thinking so much of this is an effect with my clients too, because when we start talking about different areas of the brain, like the prefrontal cortex and that executive, the hippocampus and the amygdala, now we're getting into emotions
yes.
and how we respond and the ability of our conscious mind and our willpower to
yeah.
respond. It is one amazingly beautiful system that our body is. And so, you know, it's really important as we talk about this subject of weight loss that it isn't simple. It is the most mm-hmm. complicated thing I deal with clients is weight.
Yeah.
Because the emotional component is a whole big area. The diet, the exercise, what you're saying, our physical bodies and all the things that can impact it. You know, just a little something being tweaked can make one way or the other, positively
yeah.
or negatively, can make a huge difference.
Absolutely. And just real quick, a little mm-hmm. anecdote. This happened. A lady came in recently with her husband. Her husband needed to lose a lot of weight. She came in to support him. As we did some testing on her, we found out that she actually has hyperthyroidism, she has anemia, and she has several other things that are going on, that if we hadn't ran those tests and we hadn't done this exam, I can assure you there's no way she's going to be able to lose weight. She's got too many metabolic problems going on. So you're not just going to lose.
Welcome back. I'm Roberta Fernandez here at Minding Your Health. And today we're talking with Dr. Rob Lindsay at Vallejo Health and Wellness Center in Eden Prairie on the physical aspects of weight loss. When we left, we were talking about brain dysfunction, and that's just fascinating stuff. But one of the things that we touched on that I wanted to follow up on, Dr. Lindsay, was toxins and how toxins affect a person's weight.
Yeah. So, well, first of all, you have to remember, you and I, we are a product of everything we've been exposed to from even in utero until today. And thankfully, our bodies have amazing design that it's been able to break down and detoxify a lot of that stuff we've been exposed to. But sometimes that stuff accumulates. And what I'm talking about here, the different categories I think about are infectious agents. Okay, number one, we find viruses that have been hidden in people for long periods of time, Epstein-Barr, that causes mono. Mm-hmm. We'll find hidden bacterial infections. Very commonly, there's one called H. pylori, which affects the stomach and the gut. Very, very commonly are parasites. And parasites don't just affect the gut. They can affect the brain. We've actually had patients where we've found parasites in the brain. In one case, when they started to come out, they started to come out through the guy's nose. I know that sounds incredible, but that's what happened. So those are infectious agents that are toxic in the body. On top of that, everything that you eat, drink, rub on your skin, and breathe has the potential to have some kind of toxin in it. And I think about heavy metals. Mm-hmm. Mercury, for example. Mercury used to be used a lot in vaccinations. And guess who what? We were all vaccinated.
Right.
You think about silver fillings. We think about eating fish that may have been exposed to mercury. Then there are other heavy metals like aluminum that are very common. Lead. We'll find pesticides in people a lot and herbicides. These are things that were sprayed on the food. So those are some of the big ones we find. And, of course, it can range from all kinds of other stuff, including PCBs and the toxins left from trying to digest certain foods.
Right. And it's really interesting. This was another fascinating part of my initial interview with you. As we started talking about my history, you asked me questions doctors have never asked me before about my life. And mm-hmm. I mentioned that I traveled a lot. And you mm-hmm. said, well, tell me more about that. And it turns out I was at I was in China, and I went to see the Xi'an Warriors. And it wasn't until after we had our conversation that I went online and I found out that that whole area, which I spent an hour in, was a mercury dump site.
Mm.
And amazing. One of my issues is heavy metals. Yeah. I was also in Europe two or three times right after Chernobyl.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't obviously in Chernobyl or in Russia, yeah. but we talked about air patterns and wind flow and exposure to those kinds of things.
Yeah.
And heavy metals was definitely an issue in my body.
Yeah.
I had mercury fillings, all those things that you talked about. I'd had maybe more exposure than the typical person. So I find that really, really interesting. And so we can flush out these toxins
yeah.
and keep them from coming back in again through our food.
Exactly. The better you eat, the closer to organic that mm-hmm. you can eat. Organic says that it's not been sprayed, basically.
Right.
The GMO food, staying away from those, because frankly, that's something that as your body looks at it, it doesn't recognize it as food. So it's going to mount an attack. It's
right.
a foreign invader.
Right. So. Very interesting. So the other thing that I kind of want to circle back on before we run out of time here is I mentioned earlier blood labs
yeah.
being normal
yeah.
because a lot of times the doctor would say, oh, you're in normal range, but I knew I didn't feel normal.
Yeah.
So how does that work? How can I still have symptoms yeah. and my labs be normal?
Here's what we found out and what we tell our patients. When you have blood work done, it doesn't matter what lab you go to, what hospital. Every single location that you have blood drawn has their own reference range. And that range was determined by looking at every patient that came into that lab over the last 12 months. And so they draw a statistical analysis. And just like in school when they grade on a curve, you get a curve. You get a bell curve. And so if you are one of those people that has really high or really low, they kind of throw those out of the statistical analysis. And then you have this bell shape. Well, what we use, instead of using – oh, let me back up. That range, you're being compared to some really, really sick people, by the way. Some of those people may have cancer. Some of them are very healthy, but you get this very broad range. So instead of comparing you to what's sick, we would rather compare you to what's healthy and see if we can find things. And so we use what's called a functional range. The functional or optimal range is more narrow than the bell curve. So this is where we catch stuff. You could be within the range that the doctor's office gave you, but you could be outside of the optimal range, and that would help us to see that you do have symptoms, even though the other doctor said your labs were normal.
Wow, so I've just learned something here. So if I switch from LabCorp to, I don't remember the name of the other big blood testing company, but they would have different parameters?
You got it.
I had no idea.
Yeah,
wow,
all these years
of getting blood tests, I had no idea. I moved from Florida to Minnesota, a difference.
Absolutely.
So they're not even comparing me. I thought it was like a standard range.
No.
How interesting is that?
Yeah. And so this is how we catch stuff. And people all the time will say, my doctor has said my labs are normal. And that's all. And they say it must be in your head. And you come in and it turns out, guess what? You actually do have hypothyroidism. It's just that your number was not in the disease range. It was in the dysfunctional range.
The dysfunctional range. Yeah, and I think that's a really nice distinction to make because there is, when we talked about brain dysfunction, we're not talking about brain disease.
Correct.
We're looking at, and this is my takeaway from you and working with you over the last 2 months, is that it really is about optimizing and individualizing.
Oh my goodness.
So that our body can work and be in homeostasis. I talk about that between the parasympathetic and the sympathetic nervous system, being in balance with each other.
That's exactly it. And matter of fact, our vision, our mission basically says this: there are no two people that are alike.
Right.
Even if 10 people had the same diagnosis, the same weight, all the same other the parameters for each person, they have different variables. And so we have to look at you individually, and there's no two weight loss people that are exactly the same.
Exactly.
We have to find the homeostasis for you.
Exactly. Dr. Rob, thank you so much. This has just been very educational. How can people find you?
Yeah, we are located in Eden Prairie. It's called Vallejo Health and Wellness Center, www.vallejo, V as in Victor, A-L-E-O, WC.com, or at 952-949-0676.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you, Roberta.
You're more than welcome. I want to invite our listeners to join us next week here on AM 950 when I'm going to be helping you take back control by discussing how to look at healthcare from a different perspective. Next week, we're going to be joined by Dr. Vivianne Fisher of Fulcrum Health, Inc., and Dr. Todd Ginkle from PDR, that's Physicians Diagnostics and Rehabilitation Clinics. We've got a great show for you where we're going to be looking at healthcare and this idea of what it means from a very different perspective. I want to thank you all for joining me here on Minding Your Health, the show that addresses ordinary problems and concerns that impact ordinary people just like you, involving your mental and physical health and the quality of your life. You can find me at fairhypnosis.com. That's F-A-R-E, hypnosis.com. Or you can call at 952-934. 1315. Thanks again. Have a mindful week.